But first, an assignment special report on the Beat Generation. To find out what it is, what it stands for, what kind of people belong to it, and what they do, CBC's Project 59 talks to a man who has become an acknowledged expert on this movement.
My fellow Canadians, GG, 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 GG.
Well, there you are, Canada's first happening.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to you by MannerDeprived.com and 60cards.com. Check us out.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for mises they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team. KYT.
Everybody was metagaming against each other because we saw each other's decks.
Jay Boosh.
I'm not going to ask a homeless guy for a deck idea, okay? I'm going to give the guy some change, and, you know, I'll probably half my sandwich.
Smitty.
Just completely edit out Jay Boosh, like, out of the whole thing.
Scotty.
But what is it with people that live in French countries that like blue-white control? Are you guys just, like, you have that big of a chip on your shoulder? Like, what is it?
And now, the A-Team.
Hey, everyone. This is KYT. Welcome to episode 49 of the A-Team Podcast. We're joined, as always, by Scott, Jay, and Jesse. And we also brought someone who has been begging us to be on, and I love this guy ever since I met him, Mr. Chris Lansdale. How's it going, Chris?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And is everyone else doing good?
Hey.
Awesome.
Wait, just so everyone knows, if you just keep begging and keep begging, you're generally not going to get on. Chris is very lucky.
So generally the rules are you have to win something substantial. Or you've got to stay at my house.
You have to elephant walk or circle jerk to get on.
I figured it was a lot easier to spend $500 on airfare than to actually try and win anything with a Smitty deck, so I went to Scott's house.
The shots start. All right, I see how it is. Just wait till it's weekend, man. Oh, it's gonna be on fire.
But this past weekend, of course, was Canadian Nationals. And even though Chris just gave you a shot, he did play Millblade in his grinder. So definitely deep inside, he supports you 100%, Jesse.
I know.
Deep inside.
Yeah. Yeah, that Millblade deck would be really good if there were fucking archive traps in it.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. I with this new deck, I've got 4 Emrakuls and an Ulamog in it, right? And I'm in an 8-man queue, and I play against my own Millblade deck. And as soon as he mills me out, he just conceded.
Can't win.
Once he hits Eldrazi, it's GG. So
that's so awesome that Smitty is creating and then counter creating against his own meta.
I know, right?
It's pretty cool, man. You know what? It's I might get into the speculation business because the card. The card Texas, who sponsors 60 cards now, he's a big moto dealer. And anyways, he was telling me as soon as Millblade hit, Sword of Body and Mind went up like $3. So I might have to just like buy out random cards I'm using and then hype a deck and get it some wins in a daily and then unload.
That's called fraud.
No, that's called balling.
Called inside trading.
Yeah, I don't believe this is legal, and member of the cast condones this.
You'll end up fucking playing a different kind of magic with a 400-pound black man named Bubba.
Yeah. Surprise! I made it disappear!
Whoa.
I have to give it to you, Jesse. Millblade might be
shit.
Like, the most, like, once you post that list, everyone's like playing it online, and it's and I think a lot of people have tweeted like, "Oh, I fucking hate losing the mill."
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it's all about, man. The more draws I see in sideboards, the happier I am.
Like, you listen to episode 47, and Smitty's like, man, Mill will never see competitive play. And then episode 48, Smitty's like, man, I made him. You have to do the Mill down, but it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So what's never going to see competitive play now, Smitty?
You know what, like, is really frustrating me? I'm like, I need to stop until Innistrad. There's no real point in brewing. But then, like, I get this idea, and I just want to, like, build it and see how good it is and share it and then try to win tickets off of it. Because, like, I'm at the point where I feel like being a rogue deck builder on Modo, you can really predict their meta. Well, right now you kind of can't. But, man, you can just bank if you find, like, that little sweet spot on Modo. Because if you build a deck that it just fits well in the meta, you can just like cream the field for a few days, and that's like your only window. But that's happened to me before with like, I had a red green elves deck. I've played even some like major decks, like red deck wins and stuff, where it's just like that sweet spot where you just keep winning and winning and winning. And as soon as you stop, I feel like you need to change decks on Modo. You need to be versatile on Modo, but yeah.
Didn't you say that you were in an 8-man, and every single round you played against mono red?
Yeah, I did. That was 3 days ago. That's very rare, but I mean, Red Deck Wins has been in so many places online right now. It's really annoying, especially the Goblins version. It's a really good deck, though. That's why.
Hmm. All right, just thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
All right, so Canadian Nationals just happened. And that's why there was no cast last week, as three of us were there and having a blast. So KYT, Chris, and myself, we all, you know, descended upon the venue, which was probably a little bit undersized. But, you know, hey, you can't complain too loud, I suppose, because no one listens up here. And but, I mean, it was run very well, I think. The grinder seemed to be going very well on Friday when I was popping in. KYT, you didn't have to grind in, but Chris, you did, right? So why don't you tell us a little bit about how that went?
I hate fucking Valakut.
Yeah. Everybody hates real decks. That sucks.
Man, yeah, some of the grinders are pretty good, like... I tried three of them with Mill Blade, and I never drew a fucking Archive Trap all day.
You lost a Volokut with Mill Blade?
Yeah.
That's like impossible, bro.
Not when 10, you... He's the 10, man. He's the 10. Right.
When you keep a hand that has two crabs in it, and you think...
Then
okay,
you should go to the doctor.
Thank you. I was just going to say.
Like, okay, I'm going to draw a trap. So you go first turn crab, second turn crab, fetch. And then I don't even remember what I did after that. Probably a Hawk. But and then he goes turn four Inferno Titan. There's not really much you can do after that, because then I was just drawing nothing. But vampires raped me. I did manage to beat one person who was playing Coreblade, and then I ran into Twin, and it turn four comboed me, and I didn't have the mana leak. So.
Well, what happened to sideboard with like extractions and counters and?
Yeah, I bought it the right way. I just never drew the shit, man. I was just having a face of the run bed.
Yeah, yeah, it happens. That sucks.
And I was saying to people, like, I can't blame the deck. And it's not the player either. It's not like I was doing it wrong. I just didn't draw shit.
Yeah, that happens. That's like, you got a case of the Ninas.
Oh.
Oh. I thought she was going to kill fuckers. Like, I thought somebody is going to die up in this bitch.
Was she actually, like, raging?
She,
by the way, for people that don't know, Nina is thecardboardwitch.com, and she's very competitive, and she expects a lot out of herself.
So she ended day one with a 6-2 record.
Very good.
So she was right up there.
She was killing it.
She beat Noah Long in the Swiss. And Hain. Yeah. So like she did fine. She was hanging with the top end. And then went 0-4. After that,
I do believe she had the sickest draft deck known to man in the first draft. Was it two Mind Controls, a Fireball, and an Overrun?
Yeah.
What kind of mana base is that?
Well, what's worse is, like, how are you able to draft a deck like that in fucking Nationals? Like, we were looking at decks that had two overruns and three mind controls in them, and I'm like, how did you, like, who else was in your pod? It's like, well, I don't know, they just kept passing them to me. I'm like, oh, wow, this is Canadian Nationals. I could fucking draft if that's what I was being handed. Anyways.
Yeah.
How did you do KOIT, anyways?
So I 2-1.
You sucked.
I sucked. Okay, and end of story. Yeah, I was testing Twin for the longest time, but ended up playing Cobblade after playing a bit with it on the Friday. We arrived Friday morning and played with Cody Crossman, Brian Jemba,
What was that like?
But those guys are awesome. I love those guys, and it was funny because they were laughing about how I was making fun of how bad they were, and I didn't expect that to be making fun of them. But it was fun, and ended up 2-1 with Cobblade, which was fine because I won the two mirrors, which. You know, I was hoping to get since I'm very experienced in that, and lost to Rug Pot, which I believe is probably one of the more terrible matchups. I'm not sure. Birthing Pot is just really hard to deal with unless I can counter it or O-ring it without. Even O-ring was bad because they run Acidic Slime, and that's how I lost to. Maybe you know him, Scott Chris. He plays the Harry Tees, and he came across as a solid player, and he totally mauled me with Rug Pod. Yeah. And end up 2-1-ing with Blue White in draft. Like, everybody's like, do I play Blue White in every fucking format? Apparently, I do. My only loss was, like, you know, just tough luck getting one color and multi five, whatever. I was just happy to 2-1. And then I just bombed my second draft where I went 1-2 and dropped, where. My deck was blue-black. It had, like, the bombs. It just didn't have anything else. It had Sorin's Vengeance. I had the Vengeful Feral with three Merfolk Looters. I just didn't have, like, the middle stuff to get me there. Once I did get the Feral combo online, I won a game. I went 1-2. So it wasn't, like... It means other people drafted worse than me, but my deck was garbage. And hopefully, like, my lesson is I got to work more on Limited for next year. Like, if I was able to 2-1 that draft, I had to 3-0 with Cobblade in the last three rounds. And that was, you know, within the realm of possibility. But doing bad or average in the draft is just not going to cut it. So, disappointed. But looking forward to next year or whatever.
So who were you talking to about needing to basically, like, forget everything you know about Limited and start over?
Just myself. I just Skype called Marshall a few days ago before Nationals, and he was basically telling me stuff that I didn't, like, really... I felt like I knew, but I guess not. Like, just teaching me about how to use Merfolk Looter properly. And even...
Enlightenment.
He even apparently LSV did a draft video where he looted and discarded a bad card and felt bad and thought maybe he shouldn't have looted, but Marshall and his ex co-host Ryan posted a comment saying no, you should definitely loot there, and just these, like, simple concepts that I felt that I knew, and so I decided to take a step back and just view every aspect of my Limited game and see what needed to change, like any bad habits that I had. And looting, apparently everyone doesn't do it enough. Like, even if you have a good hand, you're supposed to basically, the general idea is to loot to, like, the best cards that you have in your deck, and you shouldn't feel bad for, you know, having to discard a worse card because you're overall improving your hand. So sometimes I would have, like, in the past, I'm sure I'd have, like, three average cards, and I'm just waiting for a shit card to loot away, but I should just keep looting, especially if I have, like, a bomb in the deck, like a Frost Titan that I want to get to as fast as possible.
Because it's probably better than your Stormfront Pegasus, as an example?
Yeah.
Right.
And like that's true. It's just it is really hard to know how to loot properly too. Like it's especially if you have like hands of removal or just efficient like in especially like if you're talking I find like core set drafting because like there's no it's not as crazy as other set drafting. Like you it's very simple. You have guys that do beats and you have removal and that's the heart of your most drafts that I look at. And so then it's like, well, you know, am I looting away this guy that does beats to get, you know, like a land, then I'm looting away that land to get like something else. And I'm looting and like, I'm trying to find the spawn, but really that maybe that 2-1 flyer would have closed the game for me. And like, it's something that a lot of people find really difficult to, mm-hmm. to deal with. So, I mean, I fucking don't know how to loot at all. No. I'm so bad at it. I just my like Cody Crossman once told me if you have a looter out for 3 turns you like statistically you're going to win. I don't know where he got that statistic because he's a journalism student and he's pretty bad at it. But that's not there's no math in journalism. But regardless of that, he told me that once, so I was like, fucking whatever, that sounds fine to me. I'll just quote that to everybody I talk to, and then anytime I play a looter I'm just gonna loot. Just for 3 turns, just straight up, I'm just going to loot. It doesn't matter what I have in my hand. I just fucking, looting. So I really...
It's counterintuitive. Like, when you loot, no matter how long you've been playing Magic, the feeling that, oh my god, I'm going to discard a good card is a really hard one to get over. But the theory is that if you have cards rated from 1 to 40 in your deck... Even if you have cards 38, 39, and 40 in your hand, 40 being the best, if you loot, the worst thing that can happen is you draw card 37 and discard it because it's not better than what's already in your hand. Mm-hmm. So you've lost nothing at that point. You've still got the 3 best cards in your deck in your hand.
Yeah, and like I really like looting in combo. Like if you can pick up like an Azure Mage as well, and you or like that fucking with that awesome satchel, I find like I just... They just like make it a lot smoother. I mean, but by then you're like you're so far ahead. You should just be winning anyway. But
Druidic Satchel's ridiculous.
I think Jay was old, the first one to talk about that.
Yeah, old man bag,
right? Remember, you hadn't met Brian yet, Scotty or KYT, and Chris. I don't know if you met Brian when he was there either, but like. You guys hadn't met him yet, but I called it the Brian, the Easy Beasy Satchel, because it's his face. It's got troll face on the bag, and his face is the troll face. So from now on, that's the Easy Beasy. That's the Brian Satchel. You got to call it that. You got to, like, tweet him, man. Fucking, I picked up an Easy Beasy Satchel today. Fucking treated me right. Fucking Brian.
Brian, you're talking about Jemba?
Yeah, yeah.
I made fun of him after...
Good.
After he was doing a money draft and like he attacked with Merfolk Looter for 1, I'm like, that's really, really loose there, buddy. And he had like hands that he could have obviously looted out. And he's like, yeah, it was kind of that was kind of loose. But I love that guy. He's apparently he's really annoying to some people, but I get minimal exposure to him.
I hated Brian when I first met Brian. I was like, this guy is a fucking asshole. And then I don't remember what happened, but then he started being nice to me. And then I was like, man, this guy's pretty smart. He's a weird, freaky deaky kid, but he's pretty smart. And he's a nice guy. So I'm glad that you guys got a chance to meet him.
Yeah, I only like got exposed to him for Nationals a bit last year and this year. And he ended up doing really well. I mean, he beat Pascal Menard, one of our more known players in the last year, in the Cobblade Mirror. And so I was like, Brian, I just saw you win a Cobblade Mirror. You've gained like 8 levels of respect from me. He's like, whoa. So he played his friend Marcel's exact list from what I hear. And,
yeah. Who ended up being like the alternate now for Canada.
Marcel. Marcel ended up being the alternate.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
My friend Paul top 8ed too. That was kind of cool. I was proud of Mr. Paul P-Mac.
P-Mac.
Yeah. Good for him.
It was nice to meet him. I mean, you had Sean McLaren who was fighting against Marcel for the top 8 spot, and that was tough to see. The 2 of the best Albertans in the whole tournament.
Yeah.
Having to face off, but yeah, Marcel ultimately won in in the Call Bleed Mirror as well. So Call Bleed Mirrors all around.
Yay for Call Bleed. Dude, I don't even get it, man. Like, it seems so beatable to me with so many decks.
I think it's just popular. That's all. Really, yeah. Like when I pick up the deck, I mean, it's nowhere near as good as it was once. Was obviously, but
yeah.
And I don't feel like I lose to. I felt like pod decks. You know, if you go turn one birds, like turn two, pay two life pod on the play, I'm like I'm fucked. Like
yeah, so. Yeah. You have to do so much to answer it, or just like tap out for a O-ring, and then yeah, you get way behind fast.
And even Valakut now, the way that people have built it is actually favored against Cobblade. So, like, I've seen, like, Marcel lost to Noah in the top four. And Noah, like, beat two Cobblades in the top eight before finishing second. And, you know, usually, you know, I'm happy to face Valakut as Cobblade. But apparently the matchup is now reversed. And Valakut is definitely the favorite from the matches I've seen, I mean.
How so? Like, what's different?
I think it's
probably slower.
Yeah, maybe that or just the summoning traps, the thruns from the board, or going back to Noah's version went back to Colony Heart Expedition. I mean, maybe that's why. Oracle cool. Moldial going like that's
going
like,
back the in
sick,
yeah.
Sickest card to resolve it against Cobblade. And like the Cobblade player has to think like, do I counter this guy for summoning trap? Like, but if I don't, it makes my mana leak really bad because you're just gonna draw like a shit ton of cards. I mean, lands to get out of leak range, and so for me, like sometimes I just leak it. I mean, like this is gonna kill me anyways.
Yeah, Oracle is a win-win. That card is bonkers good in that deck. I don't know why anyone ever cut it. Even with removal, you're getting value out of it.
Yeah. So, like, people were saying at the beginning when Solemn came out that Solemn was going to be better. And, like, Phil Sams, the guy I talked to for Valakut, maintained that Oracle was definitely, definitely better. And he turned out to be right. And Valakut is still a player.
Not for long, thank the fuck.
Mr. Lose to Valakut when it's his best match.
Dude, it's really funny though, like as good as Valakut is, I'm like, I've been able to build decks. My last three decks have been able to beat it. Like, it hasn't been as much of a pain in the ass as I've bitched about before. I don't know why that is. Maybe just the card levels everywhere else got better and their deck kinda Valakut kinda stayed the same overall. It never really changed. Kind of like what happened to Jund. Like, Jund, didn't they stop getting cards finally? And, like, other decks were actually starting to get stuff. And yeah. So it kind of fell off to Mythic.
So one of the sauciest cards that I saw in Valakut over the course of the tournament, I was sitting watching a grinder, and it was Valakut against Blue-Black, and it's Game 3. And the Valakut players basically had everything killed and stripped and discarded, and he's literally top-decking. So he's just basically ripping threat after threat after threat. The blue-black player is doing basically nothing except answering each threat, but not actually producing any pressure of their own. So all of a sudden, the blue-black player rips a card, and it's the saucy card out of the board, and just starts biding his time. Finally starts building up enough land, gets to 9, and then plays Artisan of Kozilek.
Oh, shit, son.
Brings back a, what, nothing?
So brings back an Oracle.
Right.
And then just starts like peeling fucking mountains. It's in Valakut. He had already had all of his prime times memoricided. So, but he like drops Artisan of Kozilek, and the blue black player like literally shatter pauses. Like, I'm sitting there watching his face. He looks at the card, shatter pauses, slumps a little, reaches over, picks up the card, looks at it, and goes, "Okay." And realizes at that point that he's absolutely dead to Artisan of Kozilek and Constructed Magic.
Yeah, well, that was actually tech, maybe, what, like 8-9 months ago, someone did that, and it was hot for like a week. But Artisan was also in the Great Britain Nationals winning deck list.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious, though. Yeah. Oh, so
it's
funny.
It's a card. But yeah.
It's like, all of a sudden, I'm going from hitting on a 10-turn clock to a 2-turn clock. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. What a rip.
Mm-hmm.
There were some interesting decks when I was doing my preparation for my judge test on Saturday. They had me checking deck lists. Somebody was playing White Weenie and actually grinded into Nationals playing White Weenie in the grinders. It was a pretty spicy list. It was he was playing four Knight Errants, the Knight. Four Student of Warfare, four Mirren Crusader, four Hero of Bladehold. Spellskites were in there.
Hero of Bladehold is a fucking bitch.
It was playing Wrath, so basically it would drop one of the knights, make all its creatures indestructible, Wrath the board, and all it would lose is one creature, and then it would just be like, oh, by the way, you lose.
Yeah, White Weenie's like fringe okay deck. It can definitely win some games.
It had Grand Abolisher in the sideboard against Dismember. Pretty decent.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
But the other deck I saw that made top 8 was the Jund deck, the Turn 4 Titan deck.
That was actually on in Flores' article. He made mention of it on the Mothership today.
Yeah, it was cool.
Sick deck.
Yeah, Turn 4. It's exactly the same deck. It says it's from Canadian Nats. It's called Turn 4 Titan.
Yep.
It was really loose. Like it was a really interesting deck list, to say the least.
Well, it's based on the theory that a 6/6 beater on turn 4 is probably going to win you the game.
Well, it worked for Rug for a while, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's a lot of Canadian nationalists that get featured in Flores' deck article this week, so you should totally check that out. Cobblade, Blue White, main decking Azure Mage.
Main decking, huh?
Yeah.
It's a metagame choice.
Yep. The very least in the sideboard for the mirror is good. Anyways, thought it was interesting.
Mike was trolling me for not playing his blue-green aggro list.
It's not even blue-green aggro, it's blue-green infect.
Yeah, popper infect.
I got the blue-green aggro.
Like it was like Blighted Agent and Glistener Elf, but for some reason he's still playing Distortion Strike when half of his creatures are unblockable. I mean,
well, it gives you two extra damage, which in infect language is four extra damage for one mana, which is better than Lightning Bolt.
You can do so much better for one mana, though.
Well, I mean, like, all the pump spells are already in there, right? Or no? I don't know. I don't know the list by heart. It seems like a great deck, though. I mean, I don't think he'd run it again. It didn't sound like it, at least.
No. He was like, what did you run? I was like, Cobblade. He's like, disappointed. He's like, all disappointed that I didn't play his. I didn't have time to actually test it. I was going to test, in fact, but maybe take the tournament by surprise. But
yeah.
Wasn't going to do it when my favorite deck of all time was available.
You need to listen to me one of these tourneys, KYT. Like this list I saw last night. That's the one, dude. I know you're not planning anything, but
how many Arachna Spinner are in it?
There's
holy fuck.
Unfortunately, zero Arachna Spinner.
Zero.
Yeah. I could fit them in, however, but
they're a little counterproductive to the goals of the deck.
More cool than a Arachna Spinner. Just saying.
Yeah, it was probably a better choice. I played Dungrove Green on Sunday in a winner box. Man. That deck fucking owns Splinter Twin after Borg. Like, there's no way for Twin to beat it. You've already got the Beast Within, the Acidic Slimes, and then you go four Spellskite, four Nature's Claim out of the board. So literally, like, over a third of your deck is anti-Twin tech. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, at that point in time, it basically has to beat you with the fact that you have no flyers. So it just gets in for Sphinx beats.
Twin, I just Beast Within it. Fuck it.
Yeah. So I got in some Sphinx beats on Tuesday.
Giggity. Were you playing with your bone wand again?
I was playing with my bone wand. Thank you very much. And I used my bone wand to slap some people upside the head, and it felt good. Yeah. No, we played. There was, aside from all the competitive stuff, there was a shit ton of EDH insanity that ended up happening over the course of the side events. I went and I sat down. I show up, and of course, there's Lansdell, you know, sitting there with Ben Clinton from who we all met at
Motherfucking
TCG.
Bank.
Motherfucking Bank. So basically, I sit down right next to Lansdale, and boom, bank's right in front of me. I'm like, all right, sweet. So now it's on. So we're all playing some EDH. We whip out the decks, and he's like, Scotty, you totally have to play your Bant deck. I got to see it. I'm like, all right. So I pull up the Persist deck, and we sit down, and we ended up like playing some epically insane EDH games. Like, we actually had to get a judge involved at one point because I don't know, people that were following me on Twitter probably know, but I ended up having, yeah.
That's funny.
So I play with River Kelpie in my Bant Persist deck. Because being able to, you know, draw a shit ton of cards at will, you know, with unlimited engines is really good. And whenever, you know, River Kelpie is 2 blue and 3, 3/3 persist. Whenever a permanent comes into play from the graveyard, I draw a card. And whenever a spell is played from the graveyard, I draw a card. So basically, what ended up happening is Ben casts Living Death. And there's 52 creatures coming into play from Living Death. So, wow. including my River Kelpie.
It's worth pointing out that the level one judge who initially answered the question said that Scotty was dead. Who was that level one judge, Scotty?
That was you.
That was me. Yeah.
So so we had to so basically I only had like 47 cards in my deck, so it was literally like flip over and lose from Living Death. It was fucking awesome. But then we ended up, another judge was passing by, and we were just commenting about how awesome it was. And he goes, wait a minute, hold on. And he reads Living Death. He's like, no, it exiles the cards from the graveyard and then puts them into play. So I'm like, oh, okay, good. So I'm not dead. They're like, no. So then I proceeded to win the game. It was pretty sweet. Yeah. Apparently, it's really difficult to remove persist creatures when you have Cauldron of Souls and Maliria in play. But, you know, just throwing it out there. So it was a lot of fun, but yeah, we and
where
so
Baroda Ranger had an entire box of dice on it.
I forgot about that. Yeah, my Juniper Order Ranger. I basically took my cube of dice and went, he's that big. Yeah, because he was. It was awesome.
Because he was.
But yeah, it was a sweet, sweet time. We played a ton. We got to run all the decks. And got the idea for building Sphinx Tribal. We had a win. I was playing my Zedru deck, and Andy from Commander Cast was there, of course, as well. So he shows up and sits down for a game. And so again, the Living Death happens. Fucking, there was so many. There was like 4 Living Deaths this weekend. It was insane. And so Ben again cast Living Death, and of course I've got my Zedru deck. So I flop a bunch of dudes onto the play, including my Psychosis Crawler and Consecrated Sphinx. And then, Psychosis Crawler and Gilded Drake. At which point in time I exchanged that for Ben's Consecrated Sphinx. And so Andy responds, of course, to the Living Death after everything resolves with Windfall, not realizing that I had fallen into Consecrated Sphinx, Psychosis Crawler. Yeah. So I won that game.
Because Windfall for the win.
Yeah. So he cast Windfall and I won the game. It was fucking awesome. But yeah, it was all in all just an awesome time. I think the highlight, though, is like Chris and I were right down to the wire in the last game. I'm threatening to mill him out. I have a board full of fat. It's insane. He ends up drawing through to his last 2 cards in his deck. I've got Terastodon, Angel of Despair, Sheoldred, Geth,
Teneb,
Karmic Guide, Teneb, and Gleamcrawler on board, is my creature base. He's looking
and
at and Doomgape, yeah. He's looking at Wall of Omens, Wall of Denial, and Zedru. So he goes, all right, draws his last couple cards and goes, Rite of Replication with Kicker, hold priority, Radiate. Which
that
basically then,
familiar, Jay.
Which basically then says, I Rite of Replication with Kicker every single creature on the table. So I quickly respond with sacrificing the Terastodon to Mirror in the Moaning Well, so we're not going to go through those shenanigans. But he does end up getting 5 Vindicates off the Angels of Despair. One of them he has to use on his Wall of Omens so that he doesn't deck himself. He gets 5 Karmic Guides. All the legends die. Like, it's insane, the board state, by the time it's all done. He happens to use the Karmic Guide to bring back Jotun Grunts, which would then allow him to get his library back because so he wouldn't die. So I'm like, all right, well, I think I'm dead. So, of course, I draw and I think about it for a minute. And I go, all right, well, I guess I'll cast this Necrotic Sliver from my hand, destroy my own Bajuka Bog, and then cast Life from the Loam and Exile's Graveyard. So it was pretty epic. It was really, really an awesome time.
That was the most epic game.
Yeah. And there was so many people sitting around watching too, so it was a good time. But yeah, it was an awesome time for EDH, so like big shout outs to everyone that played. We hooked quite a few people on the format, I think, so that's pretty sweet. And yeah, and then I got the idea for my new Sphinx tribal deck. So I built that finally with some help. So I got by with a little help from my friends on that one. So we put together the Shroom deck, which is Sphinx tribal with no tutors, like no dedicated tutor spells. So it's very, very interesting. I thought for sure it'd just be fun and terrible. It should bear to mention that it actually has in it every single card that actually has the word Sphinx on it, flavor text or otherwise.
Except with the kitchen Sphinx.
With the exception of the only other stipulation was there's no non-Sphinx creatures. So agent, so Sphinx is agent, which is the one drop that from Alara that fetches up the Sphinx Sovereign if you sacrifice a creature of each Esper color, had to lose. He couldn't make it because, you know, he's not a Sphinx. But yeah, Mask of Riddles and all that sort of shit on there. So anyways, it's hilarious. And so I use Sphinx Bone Wand, of course, the most unplayable constructed card in history.
No, it's just actually the most unplayable card in history. You can't play that in limited either.
Oh, okay. Sweet. So I took the most unplayable card in Magic history and beat the entire table over the face with it. It was fucking awesome.
What does that card even do? It's like when you fucking play this, just show everybody a picture of your butthole.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, so it's a seven casting cost artifact. It whenever you play a sorcery or instant, you put a counter on the Sphinx Bone Wand and then deal damage to target creature or player equal to the number of counters on Sphinx Bone Wand. So,
oh my god.
Yeah, so by the time, like, I had ultimated the new Jace with that, so made everyone draw 20 cards. I had telepathy on the table, of course, as well, right? Because, like, Sphinx is like having telepathy on the table, like Asperia the Inscrutable and stuff like that, which is a Sphinx. Sick. But yeah, so I ended up fucking casting, ultimating Jace. Everyone draws 20 cards, and I look over at the guy to my left who's playing a Gave deck, and I go, "All right, what's that in your hand?" He goes, "Oh, that's Austere Command." I'm like, "Oh, Identity Crisis, you." Yeah, so like he exiled his entire hand of like 30 cards, his whole graveyard of about 30 cards, and it was really, really mean. And it was just an awesome, awesome time. So I proceeded to deck the next guy with the Blue Sun Zenith, and then come back to the Gave player, and from 38 life, I killed him in one turn with Sphinx Bone Wand. Fucking awesome. The last one, of course, is Capsize with Buyback. Scoop. So it was fucking awesome. Epic, epic games. So much fun with Commander. KYT, when you're coming up this week, you've got to get you here, and you've got to sit down and play some good, fun games with us. Good fun. Plenty of decks for you.
But I've heard... Oh, man. I probably won't be able to make it just because I've heard... Like, Toronto is huge.
Yeah, yeah, but whatever. I'll drive. I'll figure it out. What do you got?
Well, apparently we're staying for the first 2 or 3 days in Mississauga.
Okay.
And then we go to Niagara Falls, and then we're staying 3 days in Markham or something.
Markham.
Okay, hold on. For those of you that live in Toronto, you're all laughing as hard as I am.
Markham.
Okay. So it's Markham.
Markham, my bad.
Okay, it's Markham.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason that this...
You
now, hold on.
The guy, he lives in Montreal.
Hold on. The reason that this is actually epically hilarious is that Markham is like... The Asian community.
Yeah.
I think how we pronounce, I think I've been influenced by how Chinese people pronounce it in, like...
How do they pronounce it?
Holy fuck, KYT, you're Chinese?
Yeah. I get that a lot. No, people think I'm, like, Filipino or something because I'm so dark.
It's just because you spend so much time hanging out in the sun, Bala.
Yeah, all your radiation from your moto...
He's getting a burn sun. He's getting suntan from his computer screen.
Like his computer screen is fine, but he's got card burn marks on his chest and shit. No screensaver.
But no, we'll have to figure it out and take it offline, because I think actually Ben's coming up too. So like it's gonna be pretty sick. And I mean, if you're gonna be in the Mississauga area around that time, it's gonna be crazy. If you're gonna be in Niagara Falls, then we'll see how it goes. Yeah. But yeah, it's gonna be sick. Sick. Very exciting.
Speaking of awesome EDH plays, my friend Brandon, who has stopped listening to our podcast because he's a dick, No, it said he said it's because we talk about standard too much, and he doesn't play standard, so there's no reason for him to listen. Oh my god! So like somebody's high maintenance. But anyways, the other day I was playing Riku, and I got fucking turn 3 capsize lock on him, and it was the fucking straight up high nut. And I'd never done that before ever. I always wondered why everybody was like, "Are you playing blue? Oh, then you have to have capsize." And I was like, "Really?" But it's like 6 mana. You just bounce something. Like it just, I don't know. Is it that good? Well, turn 3 capsize lock's pretty good.
Apparently.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I was pretty proud of myself. And then I built a new fucking. How do you guys say? I'm gonna type it. How do you guys say this word?
So, I've heard Gave, I've heard Gave.
It's.
I've heard Gov, but I think Gov. That's dumb.
Isn't there, like a sugar spelt the same way or something like that?
Like guava?
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Alright, so put it in the comments, folks.
How do you say fucking Gave or Gave or Gov?
It's the new general for the Junk Wedge.
Yeah, Junk Wedge. That sounds sexy.
I think I had that for supper the other night.
Anyway, I built a new one of him decks, and it's pretty bad, but it wins quite a bit. I don't know how. So I just need some help with that. If anybody wants to send me some tech on their Gabe EDH decks, I'm pretty tight.
I really like Crescendo of War in those decks.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else you want to look at, too. Plague Boiler. People forget that card.
What?
Plague Boiler, the 3 casting cost artifact. You pay a black, green, white, black, green,
and color.
Put a counter on it, or take one off it. When it has 3 counters on it, blow up the world.
I remember that was a terrible card that I had to play against.
Yeah, because it blew up the world.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that card's good.
I'm building
75 cents. Okay, for those of you that cannot afford Pernicious Deed in your black and green deck, but really want a semi-suitable replacement, Plague Boiler. There you go. Budget yeah. EDH tech. You heard it here.
That seems good.
You can even get it pimped out in foil for $2 at StarCityGames.com.
Or 50 cents at Canadian Nationals in one of the dealer bins.
In foil?
Or you could go to the CardNexus.com.
That's hot.
I picked up so many pimp-ass foils at that event. I also picked up a card. I didn't even know this fucking thing existed. Fight to the Death. Sick. In EDH. Like, 1 red, 1 colorless. Fuck up everybody's day. Like, it destroys all block creatures and all blocking creatures for 2 mana. Master Warcraft, anybody? Seems good.
Yeah, fun times. So yeah, that was so that's like the EDH insanity that occurred. It was fun. Canadian Nats is good. So we all went out for dinner afterwards, and KYT got a shine on. We got him. How was the car ride home, by the way? After that, like, did you just pass out, or did you have fun because you were half in the bag?
No, I passed out a bit, and I woke up with like a slight headache, but I survived the ride.
So yeah, we were actually making that comment on the way home, Alan and I. So how hilarious is? So you ready for this? We're sitting. Okay, funny Jake Mazzaro story. You ready? Shout out to Jake. Here you go, buddy. So we're all sitting at the table, and I ordered a couple pitchers of beer. And so Jake, that's been on our podcast, is not necessarily of age, and so you know, but I mean, he is sitting with the rest of us, and I've got my daughter with us, you know what I mean, like if this is clearly an adult table, and of course Linda's like 51, so I mean, at the worst case they could have been like, well, you know, it's my mom anyways. So what we end up doing is, so I end up ordering a couple pitchers of beer, and so I'm pouring it off, and I'm, of course, I pour a glass, and I hand it to him. I'm like, here. He goes, he goes, I'm only 17, really loud, like, so that people around you can hear. And I'm like, I know that, dummy. Here, like, you're gonna get asked. No. He goes, no. I'm like, all right. So I handed it to KYT, and he happily drank it. But I just thought it was really funny. I'm like, yeah, I know, like, you're anyways. Magic players, would you turn down booze? It's not like he doesn't drink either. I'm like, what are you, like, straight edging? And he's like, no. It's like, no, not that at all. He's like, and three-legged Willie goes, oh no, just, you know, hand him the hand him the cup and he'll just sniff it. and he'll be loaded, so it'll be fine. And he's like, no. Anyways, it was really, really funny. I found it quite humorous that, you know, he's getting a perfect opportunity away from home to, you know, drink somewhere else and just blows it. Like, why would you say, oh, I'm 17? The fucking waitress at the bar heard you, and we were halfway across the restaurant.
Like a three-legged Willy. So, funny story. Apart from the fact that I swear to God, Jake Mazaros must be like, I don't know, someone fucking tightened his strings before he woke up in the morning or something. Dude is on, got it, a Ritalin or something. So I had told Linda all about the three-legged Willy story. And we walked into the restaurant after everybody was already sat down at the table because we were busy. And I said to her, like, you have to say something to Willy. So I go in, I introduce everyone. I'm like, that's three-legged Willy. She goes, oh, I've heard all about you. Are the rumors true? Fucking Willy turned this color in a ketchup bottle. It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Oh.
But anyways, it was a good time. So yeah, so next time we're going to an event, it pays to go, it pays to barn, and it pays to go to dinner with us. So we're cool like that. Come on out and join us.
And I will happily sign Malira, Etch Monstrosity, Phyrexian Unlife, or pretty much anything else you throw at me.
You didn't sign my Etch Monstrosity, by the way.
Well, I left teeth marks in it.
I know. Alana was really angry. But anyways, it was that's the one thing. I wasn't asked to sign it. Oh, I was. So Ben asked me to sign a Squadron Hawk. And apparently he's got a Squadron Hawk for each of us to sign. And so I signed his Squadron Hawk. He's gonna send one to through me, I think, to get to you, Jesse, so you'll have to sign it and ship it back.
Yeah, just along with you know what.
Yeah. So I'll send you an address.
Okay.
But anyways, good stuff. But no other autographs. That was it. Just one. So I just feel
just
like
one. Fuck our audience.
Well, that's just it. Like like the people that qualify for nationals don't listen to our podcast because it's for entertainment purposes only. Like, is that what's going down here or what?
I don't know, man. I signed hella Berlian pods at Star City Games Seattle.
Yeah. There were a good chunk of them here too. Actually, it was pretty crazy.
Nice.
So, yep, good stuff.
I know. A lot of people come up to me and tell me that they listened to the show and it was really good. So that felt great. One of the guys, Jesse, one of the guys that signed your, like, that you signed a set of birthing pods for just added me on Facebook. Andy Strauss.
Andrew Strauss? Yeah, Andy Strauss. Works at Watsi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he told, like, we had, like, a short convo on Facebook and he says, like, the mothership loves your show. I'm like, whoa, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, they listened to it, and
I told you guys this already.
Yeah, I know. I've heard the whole story from Andrew, but he's like, I'm like, do you guys just hate us? He's like, sometimes, because like they play it over the speakers, and we're just like dropping motherfucking F-bombs and shit off the workspace.
Also, speaking of Andrew, because he's my sweet gay bro, because you can't say that on TV, right? You can't say that on the A-team anymore. You can't drop your G-bombs. So Andrew, fucking, his Twitter gets hacked, and he sends me this DM that says, "I found a cool new app called Local Mind that you should check out." So I tweet him, and I'm like, "Hey, did you get hacked?" And he sends me this like, "What are you talking about?" Right away, and I'm like, "You sent me a secret DM." And he goes, "Oh, I'm stupid. Yeah, Local Mind. I didn't think it would send you a gay message." And then he DMs me and he says, "Didn't mean to say gay in a public message. Whoops." So then I like retweeted it to say, "You can't say gay, Andrew," with his message there, right? And he then DM'd me to say that I was a bitch. So there you have it, Watsi.
Andrew's awesome.
I really hope that this doesn't involve him getting fired for saying the G-bomb. Just deny it, I guess, really. I'm just some crazy internet person who's crazy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, pretty good. So, yeah, Watsi probably loves it. I doubt that, like, Mark Rosewater's ever heard of us or anything. Yeah, like, Noel de Cordova probably doesn't like us very much.
I'm sure he knows all about us, though.
He was on Modern Notions, what can I say?
He was?
Was he?
Episode 8.
Did he talk about how much the A-team loves
them? Yeah.
He talked about an epic combo deck with Mirror Weave and Contested Warzone, which
made Oh my god.
It's the worst.
What a fucking waste of time.
That's the one that steals all the lands, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know where the hate for this guy came from, honestly. I know, like, we used to talk smack, but I have no idea where it spawned from.
You know what I miss? It's episode 49. We've been doing this for a year. Episode 50. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Episode 50 is coming up, and I don't even know what we're doing for that. I hope it's some crazy party or something. But I miss Billy Moreno.
Yeah.
What happened to B-Mac?
Works at Watson. He's all quiet. I saw him in Seattle and said hello and everything when I was there. He's awesome. He's just chilling, laying low in Watsy's headquarters.
He has a job now, man.
we're like hipster. We're like hipster Billy Moreno. We knew him before he was cool.
Before he had a house.
Before he could afford food. Man, that makes me sad. I miss Billy Moreno. Man, I mean, look, Carrie Dan, you there, Carrie Dan? You better put in the fucking Billy Moreno. What was it? Homeless tech.
Insert homeless tech segment here.
Hi, this is Billy Moreno, and you're listening to Homeless Tech with the A-Team, the one podcast you can't afford not to listen to. Wait, this thing still is free, right?
So, okay, so let's talk real quick about the podcasting influence on the community. Can we do this real quick?
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about ourselves.
What?
Like
this
that.
Is what I want to talk about! Oh my god!
Are we allowed to? I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to be really, really gentle. Like, I promise I'll be really gentle.
All right. This is all Scotty here. This is like we have to put one of them disclaimers like on the DVD there.
The views about to be expressed on the A-Team do not necessarily reflect all of its members, just the jackass that happens to say the words.
Just the one that's talking it.
Okay. So here's... I just find it really interesting that, I mean, we got popular based on how badly we were roasting people. Right? Like, that was a big thing. Like, we had a little bit to say because we were somewhat relevant, you know, in terms of what's happening and all that jazz, because that's what was going on. And, I mean, I remember all of the discussions that, I mean, Billy Moreno was, you know, we immortalized him forever, you know?
He's in the
A-Team
Hall of Fame, dude.
He's in the A-Team Hall of Fame.
It doesn't matter how many pro points you have to get into the A-Team Hall of Fame.
That's right. You know, but, like, we used to just fucking rip on everybody, and it was like ruthless, and it was fine, it was hilarious. I feel like we're in 1 year later, and like everybody's listening, and it's like we can't cut loose like that anymore, you know.
Not without
repercussions. Sold out. Fuck
sold
you
out,
bitch
man.
Sold out.
Public Enemies now does what you
I don't remember us getting any fucking money for this.
I gotta say, and I said this on Twitter earlier, the online Magic community, what a bunch of bros. Like, there's a bunch of dickweeds as well, but you just ignore those fucks. Like, we got Jay from fucking Calgary, fucking cow shit capital of the universe, to Toronto.
It's true.
We got fucking Luis. Who the fuck is Luis? Like, seriously, who the fuck is he?
Is this guy? I played Diablo with him, and he's shit at Diablo. Who the fuck
he really is? Ooh, a Barditch. Let's ID it. We got him from fucking BC to fucking Montreal. And who the fuck is he? Like, 6 months ago, who the fuck was I even? And now I have a podcast getting X thousand listeners a week. I'm on every fucking thing that moves.
I have news for you. We still don't know who you are. Sorry,
you know,
dude.
Just who I am, baby. Get your goggles wet.
What the fuck was that?
But, like, seriously, what a fucking awesome community.
I don't know. I just hear a bunch of whiny bitches in the community. Just kidding. I'm one of them.
There's a lot of that, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're not breathing, they're not fucking... You know, if they're not whining, they're not breathing. So, I mean, that is how it is. Did you hear about this? So, like, okay, let's just stick up for the boys real quick here. But I was reading on Twitter this morning that everybody's all over Joe and Joey for their Stop Bitch and Start Brewing motto.
Yeah, I saw that online today.
What do you mean all over them? Like groupies all over Gene Simmons, or like all over him, like my mom on my homework?
Like, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Like it was Medina and Sam. What? Stan started and Marshall.
What?
And,
Teddy Knutson.
Teddy Knutson.
Teddy. Oh, Teddy Knutson.
Yeah.
And Arthur Halavase, I think, was in there as well.
Really? Yeah. All these bros?
Yeah. I know. It was so terrible.
But it wasn't really a vicious attack. They were just saying, like, man, I fucking hate that expression.
Maybe it's because it's played out. It is kind of
Jay,
played.
You forgot to say Halavez.
Halavez?
Halavez?
Halavez? That's my favorite. That's my fucking favorite fucking segment on my YouTube 50? Like news show is like the Halavez. don't do this when you play Magic segment.
For 50, we need to get a collection of all of our famous memes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's just replay all of our A-team memes over the year.
I'm putting it out there. I'm not doing any fucking work for episode 50. You guys can just construct a me out of all these... Like, I'm making Carrie Dan work, man. It's been a year, and that motherfucker hasn't done shit. Carrie Dan, and your creepy-ass family and shit, and you're raising Quakers. No more of that. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not even going to be here for number 50. Fuck it. Who cares? You guys, you create a me. You put Cody Crossman on here. Put Cody Crossman on here instead of me, and tell me if you can see a difference.
Cody's legit.
Don't say that, because he'll then think that, and then all these Saskatoon people that ask me for shoutouts will start asking him for shoutouts.
True. Oh, I met the Saskatoon people. What a weird bunch of people. They were like, we've got no judges out in Saskatoon. I'm like, sorry about your damn luck, bro. Move to a real fucking city. Like, we have two in St. John's and you have none in Saskatoon. How fucking pathetic is your city? Like, seriously. There are more people in fucking Toronto Airport on any given day than there are in fucking St. John's, and we've got more judges than you? Seriously.
That's because you guys don't have anything else to do. They get laid there.
I got laid in Toronto frequently.
Gross.
he's a dirty motherfucker.
I am, and I'm not going there. But I was sitting down playing EDH, and like, and she fucking walks with a foot long sub, and she's like, "Have you eaten? No, here you go."
That's a clever euphemism for like large black dildo. Anyways,
but no, what a fucking weekend! Like magic all day, sex all night. How can you complain, right?
Man.
Man,
so you guys were talking about how our bros were getting hated for their catchphrase.
Oh yeah.
He's totally catching slack for it, and I think that's bullshit because no one else has like ragged on Evan Irwin, or not as long as I've known, for tapping the cards so you don't have to, and no one has ragged on him for that.
Okay,
so that's really good. I think it's unfair.
So you don't have to.
You want me to try it again?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Welcome to another episode of The Magic Show. Here's the thing. I love Evan to death. Like, I really do. Oh, he is quite possibly one of the coolest people that I've met in my history here.
Oh, my God.
And just so nice. But, like, such an iconic voice, you know? And it's just, it's so hilarious.
Wow.
But yeah, he's just be like, yeah. So this is this has been another episode of The Magic Show. Tapping the cards so you don't have to. And it's so perfect. I just it's gone anyways.
Is he on like the Dukes of Hazzard in the spare time? Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But I think what happened with Stop Bitching, Stop Brewing, and I think even Smitty, you said something about this when Callblade was dominating everything. You have been brewing and it hasn't worked, so now we have to go back to bitching again.
Yeah. I hear you.
The theory behind it is sound. Instead of sitting there complaining about, I can't beat Velka, well, go out and buy some fucking tech edges or something. But
it doesn't, the phrase doesn't even mean literally, like, even just, like, brew a deck list to beat something. Like, it just means, I don't know, it has more depth to it. I've had them explain it to me before.
It doesn't serve us to just mindlessly complain without searching first for solution. And at the end of the day, that's what they're trying to say. right? And yep. And the community just will be the first people to jump to pissing and moaning instead of searching for an answer. You know, it's like somebody said to me today. They're like, yeah. So the best manager I ever had. You know, I hired a manager and he came in and he said to me, you know, oh God, I've got all these problems. And so, you know, the supervisor says, the president says to the manager, great, that's why I hired you. You know, he goes, well, I don't know how to solve them. What am I going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, if you want me to tell you how to solve your problems, then this isn't going to work, man. You can fucking get out the door because this is not what I signed up for. If you want to bring me solutions and you want my advice on the solutions to your problems, then I'm happy to give you that counsel. And I think that's what they're going towards, right? Like, just think about it first instead of just whining about it. Shit. God.
Like, Magic players are fucking terrible. They will bitch about everything before they even try and fix it. You know the only thing worse than fucking Magic players for bitching on the internet?
Women.
Wrestling fans.
Oh my God, no way.
Wrestling fans are even worse. Wrestling fans will be like, oh my God, like, John Cena, he's so boring, you need to turn him into, like, a bad guy, like, right away. And then they turn John Cena into a bad guy, and they're like, oh my God, John Cena is so terrible, like, the fans clearly love him. Why isn't he a good guy? Like, oh my God, do you know what you're doing? Bitch, 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 bitch. Magic players are not that bad. But when you have a Magic player who is also a wrestling fan, big head job, then chances are you're not going to be one of those people that says, stop bitching, start brewing. So I think the fact that he does say that is pretty fucking spectacular. I'm not entirely sure what my point was there.
No, nobody else is either. But those people aren't real people, so.
Wrestling fans aren't real people? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Pretty accurate assessment.
Fucking real people. Oh my God.
Oh, wrestling's the worst. I'd rather watch fucking NASCAR.
I would rather watch NASCAR with NASCAR enthusiasts.
Yeah.
That, like, in a locked up room. Wow. That had like two heaters on. Then watch wrestling by myself quietly in a nice air conditioned house.
Yeah.
NASCAR, yeah. Like 3 hours of driving with your right turn blinker on. Like, what the fuck?
Fucking scary.
I believe that's left, by the way.
I don't fucking care. You're American. You do it backwards.
I have no idea actually which way they go. Fucking NASCAR.
But Danica Patrick drives NASCAR now, so that's at least one reason to watch it.
I'm fully convinced that, like, there is a genetic deficiency in the brain of NASCAR people.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand. It's like, oh, here they go in a circle. Oh, there's another circle. Cars are driving in a circle.
I mean, I fucking really? Hate Formula One racing, and at least the tracks in that look different.
Yeah.
Where are they racing today? Daytona. Okay. What does the track look like? It's an oval. Where are they racing today? Indianapolis. What does the track look like? It's an oval.
Like, I like going fast as shit in cars. Like, that's always been one of my passions.
So fucking drag race and take your life in your own hands. This NASCAR shit is for pussies.
Exactly. Like, if you're constantly going 180, it's not gonna, like, feel fast at all anymore. Fucking boring as shit.
It's like Cobblade mirrors.
Yeah, yeah, NASCAR is Cobblade. That's such a great assessment. Perfect.
I love it.
KYT goes,
lick it. I love it so much.
I actually so like NASCAR, creepy. He says.
I love it. I'm KYT and I love it. What the fuck? What else happened in fucking over there area? Tell me some other things.
Duffington's legit. We already knew that.
Welcome.
I didn't, so fuck you.
Four times, you dink.
I think that pretty much wraps up the Nationals experience. I just forgot to mention that, speaking of Cobbler, I beat a guy, I tweet about it, who had Gideon Jura, Emira Angel, Spells Kite, a bird token, two swords, I had nothing on the board, and managed to win that game because I Day of Judgment him, so gets rid of all his stuff. I have Psychic Barrier, which everybody was reading during that day, and maybe some of you guys don't know. Counter target creature spell, controller loses a life, and two lands. So his turn, he goes,
activate Gideon, equip two swords, attack me. I discard two lands. Go. I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm dead. Like, it's lethal. The Gideon with two swords is lethal. Unless I rip an O-ring. I rip an O-ring. O-ring is Gideon. He, like, plays land. Untap, I preordain, find Sun Titan, but I don't have the mana to play it. So I hope he draws something dead, which he does. Next turn, Sun Titan, get Phantasmal Image to become Sun Titan to get something else. And went on to win the game, and the guy's like, whoa! So, just never give up. I think, like, I almost scooped at one point because it felt so impossible to win, but Oblivion Ring is definitely a great answer to have in the format. To like, I think before O-Ring, it felt like when someone had Gideon and two Planeswalkers, it's like, holy shit, I'm totally like in like dead in the water. But ripping the O-Ring and then ripping Sun Titan, the best card in the mirror, was definitely good.
That's great.
But I think that's all I have to say about Nationals. I think it was a great event. I think, speaking of grinders, it felt like some of my friends who wanted to grind in, they felt that it took a long time for some of the grinders to get started. And if there's any advice I could have for other people, it's like sealed grinders apparently like took forever. It'd be like standard grinder 4, and it'd be like sealed grinder 1, round 2 or something. So that's something to keep in mind for those of you who like want to grind in sealed in the future. Sometimes it might be a little disorganized or a little slow when it comes to that. But I mean, I had friends that went through a couple of standard grinders. But don't expect, like, I don't know why my friends were complaining that they only had time to do 3 grinders. I mean, realistically, like, to win a grinder, you have to go through 5 rounds. And
it's like 15 rounds.
Yeah, like,
that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's like, if, like, a normal tournament that takes, you know, 7-8 rounds takes almost an entire day. So, like, if you're expecting to grind in, like, expect to grind only, like, 3 or 4 times max. And so, make the most of every one of your opportunities, and best of luck.
I think they fired 10 standard grinders and 3 sealed.
Okay.
On Friday, which, if you think about it, is a fuck ton of magic.
Right.
And they only had, I think, 10 judges on staff, all level 2s. There were no level 1s there. All the level 1s wanted to try and grind in. So they were short on judge staff anyway, although the judges they have were freaking awesome.
Well, you're going to help them next time.
Yeah, you know it. I'm going to be at GP Montreal getting my judge on. And there was one DQ, huh? Which we're not allowed to talk about.
We're not?
Well, you can.
But speaking of which, yeah, there was actually a level 1 judge that actually ended up top 8. Ronald B. who ended up top 8ing the event. So
definitely. Tell us about judges. The DQ. Nobody gives a shit about a judge top 8ing. Fuck. Tell us about the DQ.
I agree.
I don't know if I know much. Like, everything I've heard is rumors, and I'm not even sure I'm hearing the right, like, if it's correct. And Chris, I don't know if we're talking about the same guy, but Max Chaquette got DQ'd. He's a friend of Frank's, who is obviously a close friend of mine. And, you know, just something happened about him trying to triple tech edge a guy. And I think the opponent said that he was using one of the tech edge mana to use one of his tech edges, so he couldn't effectively, you know, tech edge all 3. And I mean, then I guess Max, who's weak in English, according to Frank, maybe had a hard time explaining himself, but the ruling was that he lied about how he was going to use the tech edges, and he got DQ'd for it. So,
wow, that sucks balls.
So, but, you know, it could have been either way. I mean, maybe he was guilty and trying to use his weak English as an excuse for lying, but like, so we don't know.
From a judge's point of view, there is a metric fuck ton of paperwork to do when you disqualify someone from a high profile event. So judges look for every excuse they can possibly find not to DQ someone. So there
Isn't
are also
that bad, though, Chris, like, to make judges not have an incentive to, like, DQ someone, to have actually to be discouraged because there's a fuck ton
Same reason police give you warnings instead of arresting you unless you've been a real asshole.
You've got to work really hard to get DQ'd from an event. Basically, if you don't flip the table or punch someone in the face, chances are you're not going to get disqualified. But there were, to my knowledge, there were two bilingual judges on staff, and there could have been more. Because Maro's bilingual, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so's Kyle. So yeah. There were at least two bilingual judges on staff. If the language thing was an issue, they could have called a bilingual judge, no problem.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know the full story. I wasn't on staff. Even if I was on staff and did know the story, I couldn't say anymore. But I very much doubt it was a language issue.
Okay. Well, that's all I heard, and I don't want to comment too much on things I don't know about.
One good thing, though, I didn't hear any reports of anything getting stolen the entire weekend.
Fucking wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
You fucking scumbags.
Yeah, that's great.
Do we want to talk about any of the other shit that's going down? Like Modern or whatever, or do we just not give a shit about the format?
Three people got into the Hall of Fame. Modern is going to be dominated by Zoo, and LSV is going to win the Pro Tour. Yeah.
Ooh. Calling it.
Yeah. Cold shot. LSV wins. Because he's fucking LSV.
So that'd be a really good way to, like, fucking stamp your mark, you know? Just come back in and boom. Because, like, LSV is an unbelievable player. Like, there's no question. But, you know, he falls victim to the what have you done for me lately issue. You know, people kind of forget, oh, yeah, LSV, he's still good. Yeah.
Didn't he just win a fucking Grand Prix?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. All I'm saying is that here's the thing. PV goes and plays in a tournament and everyone's like, oh, PV's gonna win. Oh, he's 50% top 8. Oh, and like PV's amazing. We love PV. There's no question. But like, you know, LSV shows up to an event and it's like, oh, it's LSV. Totally not thinking until he goes 16-1 when you go, fuck, that guy's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I have to agree with that.
So, anyway, so it'd be interesting.
Is he coming to Montreal? Because I know Chapin isn't. PV isn't. AJ isn't.
That's sad. Drew is.
Yeah. So is Gavin, apparently.
Yeah,
he's staying with Frankie or something, isn't he?
Possibly, which is probably going to be a riot. But I don't know if he's coming to. He probably is. I think like he was there for GP Toronto. LSV was there for that.
Yeah.
And so was like most of the Fireball crew. Like I remember seeing them. So.
Yeah. We got to talk with most of them, right? Like Conley and LSV, Michael Jacob, all those guys. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to get into Modern, so I can't. There's nothing I can really comment about. Except I hope my Canadian boys, one of them, hopefully top eights and proves themselves on the Pro Tour. That'd be awesome. Alex has put a lot of pressure on himself to perform because he's been trying to qualify for so long, and now that he's on, you know, he's taking this really, really seriously. And I expect him, like out of everyone that I know, to do really well. And hopefully he'll be in the top eight or in contention. But yeah, there's nothing I can talk about on Modern.
Well, if he top 16, he's invited back anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what he's hoping for, to keep being on the train.
Like, yeah. Oh, infinite, basically, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
I think AJ basically said it's easy to be on the train, but once you're off, it's like really hard to get back on. And,
yeah.
I mean, AJ's one of the best minds that we know, and the fact that he's not, you know, cute is like mind-boggling, right? Like,
so he's talked about that actually on his last his last interview with the MetaMagic, and he basically has decided that he's going to get back on the fucking Pro Tour. That's what he's going to do.
If you haven't heard that interview yet,
totally awesome.
Immediately go and download that shit. Like between that and the OSIP interview from last week, it's completely fucking changed my outlook on Magic. Like, Rob Martin does a fucking awesome job with those interviews. He just, he knows when to let people talk.
Yeah, I love the OSIP. I listened to that one from beginning to end, and it was excellent hearing him talk about, and I wish he was like still really active in the Magic, like in the competitive Magic world rather. So what does that make you want to create a team, Chris?
Nah, man. Like, if like he was talking about, like Osip was talking about what teams need. They need right. and ideas, man. Like Smitty right now, and I'm gonna fillet you now, Smitty. So get ready.
Yeah, I like that.
wait. Say it soft.
Gag. Smitty is right at the place where he could be the ideas man for a team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still where Smitty was 25 episodes of the A-Team ago, where I come up with ideas, but they're really fucking bad. like Baldia Channel is.
I don't know, man. My ideas weren't even that bad back then. People just didn't respect me.
Oh. No, but I said like there's people right now that I'm trying to emulate when I'm coming up with my ideas, and I don't know if people realize this, but like Michael Flores and Patrick Chapin and the genius deck designers, they come up with the same ideas I do. It's just they're smart enough to know that they're shit before they talk about them. If you listen to Chapin's song on the Gathering album, Brewmaster's Delight, he even says in there, 9 out of 10 decks built by the best suck.
9 out of 10 decks built by the best suck.
So they're coming up with the same shit that I'm coming up with, but they dismiss it faster than I do, and then they go to something that actually fucking works. So I need to get to that point. I need to get to the point where 9 out of 10 of my decks suck, and not 99 out of 100 of my decks suck. And the only way I'm going to do that is by following people and watching people who are better than me. And right now, that's not difficult because pretty much everyone is.
Wow. Very, very modest, Lansdale.
Well, you know, like, I started a podcast to talk about rogue deck building. And from having Flores on there for 3 hours, I learned more in that 3 hours than I've learned in the 15 years I've been playing Magic.
Wow.
Like, he started the revolution, and it's just carried on from there.
So do we want to go to shoutouts then?
Yeah, let's rock the shouts.
Okay. So I have a like monster list. So if you got a short one, Jesse, you can go.
I'll go short, and then I'm going to dip out. I'll play it back later. No, shout out to Matt Marr, who's rocking the Grand Prix and the Pro Tour in the next couple weeks. So much love for the Marr love, dude. Hopefully he does well. Did you guys see the stats? I forget whose article it was. I'm going to check real quick. But Matt Marr is 6th on the Pro Tour in average finish. But uh-huh. He's way down in money earned, so it's really awkward. But 6th in average finish. And I know some people have said like the mean is probably a better statistic of that, but what the fuck ever, man. That's an awesome stat. He's done really well lately too, so we'll see how it goes.
Good. So I've got a bunch of shout outs here. I want to go, first of all, with all of the cool people that we hung out with at the Canadian Nats. So I'm looking at Ben C. I'm looking at Andy. Alex, always good to see you. Jake. Willie, nice to finally meet you.
Three-legged Willie.
Three-legged Willie. Awesome job on the coverage. I wanted to, Chris, thank you for joining us and having a good time. We had a blast, and looking forward to doing it again. Shout out to Lucas as well, who was the one that played the artist in a Kozilek and allowed me the privilege of watching a Shatterpaws. It was awesome. And random shout outs as well. So shout out to Jacob and Mo for helping me out with loaning cards to get Millblade together. Pretty sweet of you guys. Random shout out to Bobby Roth.
Really, really quick, dude. That we got two local guys. Mo is the dad, and Jacob's his son, and they're loaded with cards, and they loan cards to everyone. The fact that you just said Jacob and Mo loaning cards just tripped me out. What are the odds of that? Anyways, continue.
Good talk.
Yeah, no, it tripped me out. I had to share.
All right, thanks for sharing. So shout out to Robbie Roth, MTG Color Pie, the guy who did our intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, guy's done a shit ton of stuff for the community. Good for him. And, you know, a good, strong advocate of my favorite format ever. So, EDH, love it. Shout out to Glenn Jones, who has recently been...
a sexy shipped... R&B singer? That sounds like a...
No. Glenn Jones, who does...
A motherfucking Glenn Jones, yeah.
He does all of the data tabulation and basically direct. He's the director of SCG Live, but he's been working on a Tezzeret list that he shared with me, which looks pretty saucy. So thanks for sharing. And I want to give two more random shout outs to our fellow podcasting community folks. Well, I guess it's three. So it's Joey and Joe. You guys are awesome. Don't let the haters hate. And keep doing what you're doing, because we know your heart's in the right place and we'll always have your back. And the last one that I actually want to give a shout out to is Jack LaCroix. Like, I actually took some time and read some of his Twitter feed today. And, you know, I really have to say, Jack, you've done a great job in the community of establishing yourself, you know, as a personality. And keep it up, because you're doing the good, you're doing the right stuff. So,
whoa.
You know, I know. Random,
that's huge,
right?
Praise. That's huge praise.
I know. No, and you know what? He's really started to come into his own in terms of, you know, how his behavior has been on Horde of Notions in particular. And I'm really pleased. I mean, he's come a long way from just, you know, slurping on Tom's balls. So I'm pretty pleased to see where he's ended up. So good on you, Jack.
Jack's an incredibly intelligent guy. He knows what he's talking about. And when he doesn't drink on Horde of Notions, he's fucking amazing. And he writes for some site that's not for entertainment purposes only. And he puts up half-naked chicks. So
yeah. And otherwise, wife plug. So Alana _ Mac on Twitter. Feel free to follow her. And that's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Who's KYT? Up? Who's up next? KYT?
Okay, I can go next.
Okay, I go next.
I wish I had a list. No, I wish I had a list. But, man, because I'm going to forget people. But getting to see, off the top of my head, Nina, Charlotte, obviously meeting Chris again. You know, I feel like... we're real bros. At Scott, of course, it's always great to see you. And your daughter's really, really, like, she's really cute, and hopefully she'll learn to play Magic someday. Shout-outs to your wife as well. Shout-outs to Jay, Jesse, as always, for being on. 49 episodes. I can't believe it. Like, we've actually come this far. And, like, the guests, like, the quality of guests that we've had on, it's just pretty breathtaking that we got the national champion. Like, we were the first to get him on, and like just the star power of the people we've had on, never would have expected it to happen, right? So, shouts us, yes,
yeah, yeah, totally,
us, the A team. shouts to everyone that I've tested with in the past week. From Face to Face Games, Justin Richardson, Dan Lantier, Alex Hain, Rob Anderson. Shout out to all people who were wearing Mana Deprived shirts, especially like Noah Long. He's a huge supporter. He finished second. You know, Dan Lantier is also a huge supporter and writer for Mana Deprived, who finished third. And Marcel, who's also been strong in his support, and he finished fourth. So it was cool to see 2, 3, 4. And PMAC, who's also a writer, top aided. And okay, definitely shout out to all the Albertans, because they are awesome. Cody Crosman's obviously awesome. Brian Jemba. Special shout outs to you two guys. You two guys rock. Man, shout outs to William Blondin for driving me home, and
three-legged
doing,
Willie.
Like, he basically asked Jason Ness if he could do coverage, and he sat there with my iPad, and we had our own like feature match. Like, Mana Deprived got to pick a feature match every round after Josh Bennett picked the official one, and William just sat there with my iPad and like typed and did coverage for 2 days, and that's all he did. I mean, what a trooper. Gave my site the highest number of hits ever, and it was all because of him. So that's what we joke about him. All like, he's gonna assassinate me someday and take over the site, and and yeah, I'm definitely proud of him, and hope he keeps working with me and not killing me. So that's it for my shoutouts.
All right, Chris, Jay, volunteers.
Yeah, I can go. All right. First of all, shout out to you, Scotty, and to Alana for taking a big, black, scary-looking dude into your house without ever meeting me.
You got it.
It was pretty fucking baller. That was sweet. Shout out to KY Tizzle for being a bro and calling me the dirty motherfucker. And Three-Legged Willie and Nick LeBlanc and Hayne and all the other Montreal crew for being fucking legit dudes. With one possible exception. Shout out to Linda for making a fucking amazing weekend fucking amazinger. And she might even listen to this. And yes, amazinger is a fucking word, Jay. Suck my hairy nuts. And shout out to you guys for finally letting me on. Because this has been like my aim since I started listening to podcasts. It's like, dude, fucking Canadians, fucking magic. I gotta get on that shit. shout out to Garrick for letting me live the dream of drawing 12 cards from Primordial Hydra, which I
wow,
baller. That's it. I'm fucking done. Oh, shout out to the Horde and Oceans crew for being amazingly hilarious.
Shout outs to my wife for taking care of me when I was sick. Shout out to the people that hired me at my job.
Yay, Jay got a job, yay.
I got a motherfucking job. yeah, I'm really happy about that. Of course, then I, I never get sick, and the Lord has cursed me with getting sick on my, second week of fucking work, and now I feel like I might lose my job for being that guy, so please don't have me lose my job for being that guy.
Job for being hella sick, dude.
Yeah, I hope not. Shout out to KYT, who got a job. Probably.
Yay!
Doing what? KYT.
Math homework.
What?
Doing the same thing. No, doing the same thing that I was. Basically, Nokia. I used to work for the Nokia office in Montreal. They got bought out by Synchronica, and they opened some new positions. So
they fired you and then hired you?
Well, my contract ended, and they didn't have permanent. Nokia didn't have permanent positions at all.
Oh.
And so I just finished my contract. There was nothing there for me to do. I dirtled around for a bit, and they got their office, that office, specific office, got bought out, and they're like, my old manager's like, hey, we can offer you your old job back, but now it's permanent, so that's right. Great. So I won't be making, I'll have an actual salary and not like X dollars per hour.
Fucking living the dream, KYT. You're gonna move out of your mom's basement or what?
Yeah, you gotta move out of your mom's now, dude, right?
Mom!
You gotta move in with your pretty girlfriend, but you gotta videotape your mom raging when you have that conversation.
Yeah, and then you'd be like, whatever, mom, I don't live with you anymore, so now I can go on magic trips whenever I want.
Okay, I gotta stick up for my Asian brother from another mother here. I've met KYT's girlfriend, and she is really pretty.
we're not even talking about her.
No, we all know that she's pretty.
Yeah,
dude, sort she's of. Asian. we get it, right? It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm glad the entire A team is now employed.
Yeah, it's about time. Shit.
Yeah.
I guess that explains why you guys can't start on time.
Yeah. what else here? Shout out to fucking Andrew Strauss from Mothership. So, I hope that you don't lose your job over us talking about you. And, if you do, then,
you know what?
Go on Horde and Oceans.
I would really, really like it if we could get, as a podcast, a shout out on the Mothership.
I don't know how that's even possible, but it would be fucking sweet. Maybe it could be in Noel de Cordova's article. Call it Rogue Brewing or something. Call it something you'll actually want to read. That's the title of that article could be. Shout out to Nina, who did horribly at Nationals. And I really hope that she like just quits Magic or like just gets it. Because, you know, you can't go through life playing loser cut and fucking sucking at Nationals thinking you're better than everybody, okay? So there's that. Shout out to Carrie Dan. Sweet, sweet Carrie Dan. what else? Who else we got? Shout out to... You know who we haven't shouted out for a long time? Fucking Teague.
Oh.
Gaddick Teague.
He's going to be in GP Montreal.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Gaddick Teague. There you have it. Shout out to that guy. Hope that guy never washed that shirt that I sent him. But he hasn't been on Twitter either. Like, did his parents take away his Twitter?
Maybe? No, he's been on Twitter a little.
All right. Well, maybe I unfollowed him or something. I don't know. And then shout out to you guys. I mean, I think it's been a long, long time that we've been together, and it feels like forever, and we're all just doing this power bro hug stuff. So shout outs to you guys. I love all of you, and I hope that we can do the A-Team forever.
Aw, that's so sweet. Blah.
Just blah. Blah. Whatever. No G-bombs here, bros.
I think that wraps up episode 49, and hopefully we can get together the epic 50, right?
Yeah. Did you give shoutouts?
Yeah. I gave one to Matt Maher, and that was it.
And then he was like, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
I got shit to do.
Yeah, but then I stayed, because I love you guys.
Good call. Yeah.
Good call. Spouse God.
Helivis. Helivis.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Helivis. Tight. That's a fucking awesome episode. Shit, yeah.
Shit, yeah.
Shit, yeah.
I'm out of five. Hey.
All right, peace.
Yeah. What? Better you sick Canadians, eh?